Now we're going to Puri. This is chapter 8, Antyakanda, part 2. Yeye dravye janina prabhura purva prita sabalaila sabe prabhur avikshara nimitta. Everyone that came to Puri to meet with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Akambira, they brought the Lord's favorite foodstuffs to offer to him. When you go to see the Lord or devotees, you shouldn't go empty-handed. So they all brought his favorite foods. So I guess even sannyasis can have favorite foods, because he's a sannyasi and he has some favorite foods apparently. Prabhura, Bhiksha. Sarvapate Sankirtana Karite Karite Ailena Pavitra Kariya Sarvapate. To devotees that walked from Navadvip, West Bengal, to Orissa, to Jagannath Puri, they performed Sankirtan throughout the journey, and they thus purified all the places that they passed through on their way to Puri. So this is what devotees do. They, whenever they go somewhere, they chant the name of the Lord. This is, I guess, been a tradition since hundreds of years and spiritual movements in India, especially. All over India, in the last 500 years, we have Tukaram and we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nam Sankirtan. And if you read the Granth Sahib, Guru Gobind Singh. He has many bhajans in there, like this kind of similarly, Krishna Murari and Narayan. Do you know any of them? But I've heard some of my friends that were Sikhs and became Hare Krishnas, they told me that he has many Nam Kirtans. So this is when the devotees move, they chant the holy name of the Lord with kartal, mridanga, or clap their hands. And the time goes very fast, because chanting in Sankirtan is transcendental. One actually enters the spiritual domain. He doesn't understand much about time and space. I remember many times traveling Sankirtan with a group of, traveling book distribution, let's say, in a van with a group of devotees, and we're going all night somewhere, long way, and we decided to have a kirtan, or many times, and we're having a kirtan, we're chanting Hare Krishna, and we don't even know how many hours went by. We left L.A., and we left San Francisco, and before we knew it, we were in L.A. It was like 8 hours car ride or something. I said, oh, we're there already. Because everyone was just focused on the holy name and taking turns leading, and wasn't really anything to see outside the windows, so everyone closed their windows of their eyes and meditated on the names and whatever else they could collect in their hearts. And space and time didn't really exist. It's a phenomenon many people have experienced. Even mundane people, sometimes they talk all the time and they don't realize where they are. Oh, look, we're there already. So this is very inspiring, and everything we're doing is sanctioned. It's the parampara of activities, taking prasad with devotees, chanting in congregation, chanting in Sankirtan as we're traveling from place to place. They are walking for 1 month from Navadvip, and so they pass the space and time by performing Sankirtan along the way. And they relished it, they enjoyed it, it occupied their minds and hearts, and they didn't feel any difficulty of the journey. They didn't feel the passage of time or space, any fatigue. Prabhupada says you can chant 24 hours Krishna's name and never get tired. But if you take someone's name in this material world, Sunil, I say, all right, now chant this name, Sunil. Chant Sunil Gupta for 2 hours. Sunil Gupta, Sunil Gupta. It's like, you can't do. It'll become tasteless and unattractive, because it's material, has a limitation, has satiation point. You can only hear so much of a mundane thing or eat so much of a mundane thing. Limitation. But Krishna's name is transcendental. So you can go on and on and on and chant Krishna's name, never reach the end of it, because every time you chant Krishna's name, it's a new experience. A new Krishna's name is ever fresh, as he is ever fresh. Even when people see visually with their eyes, they have darshan of Krishna, the liberated souls, the mukta jivas, the Mahapurushas, the liberated souls. They have the power of tapasya and the power of devotion, purity, they can have darshan of God. And when they see God, either his eternal servants and associates or the liberated practitioners of devotion, liberated souls, mukta, jivas, everyone remarks, as we look at Krishna, he changes from moment to moment. Looks more and more interesting, more and more attractive. We can't reach the end of Krishna. He's fathomless and endless. He has endless beauty and endless variety, Vidagdha Madhav, endless cleverness and endless unlimited sweetness. And when someone sees Krishna as darshan, sakshatkar, direct darshan of Bhagavan, Lord Narayan or Vishnu or Krishna, he experiences a sweetness in his mind that we have some idea of sweetness from tasting some sweet food or maybe meeting some sweet person who behaves in a very sweet way or speaks in a very sweet way. Different aspects of the experience in our world of what we call sweetness. But Krishna is such that people they become stunned. Their senses become stunned and they lose the ability, their throat, their voices become choked up. And they try to describe what they're experiencing just by seeing Krishna, what their eyes are experiencing, what their heart is experiencing, what their mind is experiencing, what their nose may be experiencing by smelling Krishna's fragrance. Inconceivable, unfathomable, inestimable, and immeasurable sweetness. Ananta Madhurya, Ananta Madhuri, Krishna. Because at every moment it increases. As soon as you try to hold that sweetness and relish it for a moment and become inundated by that experience of Krishna's momentary sweetness, then it expands and changes its form and becomes even more captivating. And say you smell Krishna, for example, the fragrance of Krishna, and it's the sweetest smell you ever smelled. And then as soon as you try to understand it and analyze it or somehow compare it to anything, any other fragrance you ever smelled, and then again you go, what's that? Another fragrance comes. And then it's coming from Krishna. No, there's nothing. What else is here? There's nothing else here. It's in my room. There's not even any flowers in my room. Or like this. So this is the experience of this transcendental name. They could chant every day as they walked, hour after hour, every day, for a whole month, because the name goes on and on in freshness and variegatedness and sweetness and satisfaction. Krishna's name. And we do the same thing today. I remember we used to come home from book distribution in Los Angeles Airport. And of course, at the end of the day, our so-called seva day, it's what we would call, a regular person would call work day, end of a work day, we call end of a seva day, or at least that seva, because the day of seva never ends. Seva is nitya. We only go from one service to another. But people in this world, they have work and play. They have karma and lila. They have their play, their krita, their kilana, their play and their karma. Karma and their play and their work. But the devotees, they only play. It's all lila. It's all seva. They go from one seva to another seva. And once a newspaper reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, What do your devotees do for recreation? What do they do for chuti, vacation? And Prabhupada's first answer, reply was, my disciples are not, devotees of Krishna are not so fickle. They're not so fickle, so chanchal. And then he said, no, but I see them on the streets, they're chanting, and they're reading, they're selling your books, or they're studying, or they're doing their prayers, or doing some worship in the temple like priests. But what do they do for fun? Like on Saturday off and Sunday off, what do the devotees do for fun? And Prabhupada chuckled himself and he said, actually, everything they do is fun. Prabhupada said, I've established a society around the world. It's an international society. And you can rename the society I've started as the International Society for Recreation. Recreation means vacation. Recreate. You know, you take the mess that you make when you go to work and then you have recreation on the weekend. Your schedule has created such a mess for you after Saturday and working for 6 days. Then on your day off, you try to do recreation. recreation. You try to recreate your time and space to produce some satisfaction. Usually sleep till 10 or 11. That's the first thing. Ah, I can sleep. I don't have to get up early and go to work. Ah. and then some maybe extra eating and drinking because you know you have time on your hands to recover or recuperate from indulgences in either one of these activities. Indulgences and drinking has its side effects. And indulgences and eating have their side effects. But you can recover on Sunday. So Saturday night is party night, universally. Is it not? So every country of the world, in America they don't even work on Saturday. So they're already in the mood. But it's Sunday, people get slightly, Sunday means sober day. So they're a little sober. So this is the point, we come back in the van from book distribution seva, and then we would begin sankirtan seva. And we would sit in the van, we sat in these little trucks called van, and it has a platform, and books underneath the platform. And all windows all around. We don't have any curtains or black film or anything because we have nothing to hide. In fact, we rather startle everyone as we move around here and there. It's kind of startling to someone to look and see like 8 men with shaved heads and shiny heads sitting there going in a van. And maybe you came from Midwest somewhere to visit Disney World. And in Los Angeles, and then you've never seen such a thing. And people would, eyes were popping out of their head as they saw us go down the freeway, LA or San Diego freeway, back to the temple, pointing, what is that? It's a truck full of Martians. It looks like that. And then, if that's not enough, the visual impact of seeing a shaved head devotee with tilak in America, then add the audible experience, the ching ching ching, boom boom boom. So and then not only that, the van is rocking back and forth going down the road. so then people pull up in some traffic light or whatever, and it's summertime and we're right fully into it. We don't know where we are. We're in the kirtan and we don't really care what anything's going on. But sometimes you may open your eyes and look around and people are like looking inside the windows and you know, they'll know what to make of it. And I can remember pulling into petrol stations and kirtan is in full gear, full blast, and roll down the window. The guy said, "Fill it up." The guy said, "What?" Yeah, he's driving. And you don't want to tell them to quiet down because they're just, the boys are going so ecstatic back there. She said, well, you know, and they just show $100 and this much. And they, oh, okay. And it's all by sign language. So it fills up the gas and the kirtan doesn't stop. It's just half the tank and on the way down the road. So our journeys across America from the sankirtan field back to the temple were always journeys filled with Harinam Sankirtan. So, and we were also going to Lord Chaitanya. We were leaving the airport to go to the temple to see Lord Chaitanya, take darshan, Lord Chaitanya. So these devotees are so happy because where they're going. If the prospects of your destination create a sensation in your heart, you can be happy on your way there. So we're going to the spiritual world. As Prabhupada would say, it's home. People find that rather odd that Prabhupada had this motto. He said, we're going back home, back to Godhead. So people generally say, I'm going home to Delhi, I'm going home to Mumbai, America, Europe. But home is where the heart is, and in the heart is God. So God is the heartland of the soul. God is the heartland of the soul, and we live in that heartland of the soul because we are the soul. And God is a super soul, Paramatma, Atma Paramatma, Jivatma and Paramatma. Vibhu Chit and Anochit. So going home is quite a wonderful concept. So the devotees, they were leaving Shikanda and Navadvip and West Bengal and East Bengal, and they're all walking in harmony together, singing in harmony the holy names of the Lord, going home to where the Lord is. And that's at this time, he's in Jagannath Puri in the form of Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, Krishna Balaram. So they're very happy about the prospects, about the destination. If someone's going on a vacation to some exotic, faraway place, Bali or New Zealand or Fiji or something, if you're from India, then people may get excited. Generally, they feel some excitement. Enthusiasm, excitement, anticipation, happiness, the newness of the experience, what we'll see, what we'll feel. So imagine what a devotee feels like that's going back to the spiritual world. The enthusiasm. These things are recommended and advised as positive qualities to have on the journey of spiritual perfection. Utsaha nischayat dharyat. It says we should be patient and confident and enthusiastic. But all these qualities automatically come when one is thrilled by the idea of where he's going. This is the prayojan, the culmination, the final point, the ultimate destination, life's final, let's say, final destination. Many lifetimes. Bahonam janvanam ante, gyanavan mam prapadyante, vasudevam sarvamiti sa mahatma sa durlava. Durlava janama satsang. Very rare to get this human form of life. And rare yet to go home, back to Godhead. Because home means comfortable place. Home means friendly place. Home means my relatives. But I often make the phrase, we have our relativities and we have our absolutes. Someone said, oh, I spent the weekend with my relatives. So I said, your relatives are part of your relativities. But we spend a weekend with our absolutes, our absolutives. Absolutives are devotees and with Krishna. Krishna says, satatam, in Gita, Krishna says, satatam kirtiyantamam yatantascha dridhavrata. Dridhavrat, brat, with a very firm vow, a fixed notion, a fixed mind, a pointed, directed life. One should satatam kirti. One should always engage in my kirti. Satatam kirti. Kirti means the mahima, the charitra, and mahima, the name and fame and glories of God. This is the directive of the Lord, the divine command, Bhagavan Agya. Satatam kirti yanto mam yatantascha dridhavrata. We should always do that. So when we're prohibited from doing that because of our so-called relativities or relatives, then we feel that we've been robbed. Our time has been stolen. But with devotees, these are absolutives, and we engage in absolutes and absolute activities, which are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. And they purified everybody along the way by that kirtan. Ulase ye hari dwani kare bhaktagan shunya pavitra haila tribhuvana jan. The people of the three worlds became purified by hearing the tumultuous vibration of hari hari dwani made by the bhaktagan. Bhaktagan, Vaishnava Sarasang. It was so loud, the ulase. The great ulas, joy, happiness. Like Uddhav, this person, Uddhav, is a great devotee of the Lord. But the word Uddhav, Vishnu Chakravarti explains, means Uddhava. Uddhava means one who creates a festival. Because Uddhav means festival. So he's named Uddhav because wherever he goes, he creates a festival. So when he came from Mathura to Vrindavan, he created a festival for all the Brijavasis that were pining in separation from Krishna. They were crying in separation because Akrura had taken Krishna to Mathura and didn't bring him back. And then after a few months, then Uddhava came with some message, some sandesh, some message from Krishna to give to his mother and father, Yashoda and Nanda and all the gopis. So when Uddhava came, it became a festival. All of Vrindavan became full of festivities. And people were just a new life because he's blue in color. Uddhava has a blue skin tone. And Uddhava is the son of Deva Bhag. And Deva Bhag is a brother of Vasudev. You know, Vasudev and Devaki. So Vasudev's brother is Deva Bhag, and Deva Bhag's son is Uddhav. So Uddhava is a cousin by that arrangement. He's a cousin of Krishna, older though. So he's blue in color, and he likes to wear prasadi kapra, prasadi vesh. He wears the yellow dhoti, pitambara dhoti of Krishna, pitambara chadra. He doesn't wear a peacock feather and all these things. But he wears necklace, the mala, the Vaijayanti mala of Mathuranath. And he came looking so, and he has beautiful long hair also. Very attractive figure. So he came, because mostly rishis, they look like this. So Uddhava came, and everyone at first said, oh, is Krishna come back? He promised he would come back. Maybe, no, it's not. But just seeing him created a kind of a festive mood in people's hearts. Because if you see someone that looks like someone you love, very similar, then you get a little attracted. Initially you're attracted and a little excited. Oh, is that my beloved or is that my dear one? I think so. Oh, no, it's not. It's somebody else. And then you contract your rising feelings of ulas upon realizing that it was a mistaken perception that it isn't your beloved, it's somebody else that looks like them. So the gopis and Nanda Baba, they were like that. They for a few moments, they thought that Krishna had returned for his promise to them. Yashoda never saw Uddhav when he came. That's the irony of his visit. Krishna sent Uddhav, please visit my mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba and solace them and comfort them with sweet tidings of my activities and my good health and my position here. I secure a peaceful position in Mathura under the guidance of the king, Ugrasen, who's been installed now after the death of his son, Kans, to rule Mathura district. So, but when he got there, Yashoda was crying and crying and crying. From the day Krishna left Vrindavan with Akrura, Yashoda closed her. She was looking at the chariot go. And she just went, after, as soon as she could no longer see the dust raised by the hoofs of the horses carrying that chariot. And in that chariot was Krishna and Balaram being whisked off to Mathura by their uncle Akrura. then she just closed her eyes at that vision of Krishna's hair on the back of Krishna, dusted by the Brajaraj and from the hoofs of the horses, and then she closed her eyes and fainted, and they had to drag her back. And then when they went to the Nanda Bhavan, they carried her up the hill to Nandagram. She said, "I won't go in that house. This house has no meaning for me. A house without one's child is meaningless. There's no meaning to this house. I'll stay here in the dirt. My memory of my son is sprinkled with this dust. I want to stay here." So that she said when they were taking her inside. And her eyes were closed from then on in. She started crying and crying and crying. So when Nanda Maharaj, Uddhava was speaking with Nanda Maharaj and describing about Krishna and inquiring whatnot, and trying to preach to Nanda Maharaj. And at one point, Nanda Maharaj, with his index finger, he pointed and says, "See, look at my Rani. Look at Yashoda Rani, Vrajarani, Vrajeshwari." And she was just collapsed on the ground. She hasn't opened her eyes for months. She's just crying, crying. She can't even hear anything you're saying. She can't even see you. So this is the Vatsalya Rati, the parental love of Yashoda and Nanda. It's so intense. And that was just the preliminary teaching that Uddhava got for the Braj Bhakti of the gopis, because afterwards he was going to meet Radharani and the gopis. When he saw the intensity of the love of Yashoda especially, and also Nanda Maharaj, he realized that his attachment to Krishna, his love of Krishna, was like a sesame seed compared to Mount Meru, like a sesame seed compared to Mount Everest, the Himalayas. It was insignificant, morsel of nothing, his so-called love and feelings of intimacy and friendship for the Lord. So this is Ulas, the Haridwani. They were purifying the whole world with that vibration. Patni putra dasa dasi ganera sahite ailena paranande chaitanya dekhite. The devotees brought their wives. There's a whole family yatra, parivar yatra. As I mentioned the other day, there was about 100 families that came, 100 to 200 families. So that's quite a few people. Sometimes they say 50 families, 200 people. Sometimes they say 100 families, because the children were there, mother and father. Devotees brought their wives, their sons, and servants, and they went in great ecstasy to see Lord Chaitanya. Patni putra dasa dasi gan sahite. They went in great bliss, paranande, to see Lord Chaitanya. Jaisthani rahena asi sabhe vasa kari seisthana haya dhena Sri Vaikuntha puri. Wherever this yatra of devotees stopped on their way from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, wherever they stopped en route, the place that they stopped became like Vaikuntha, Sri Vaikuntha Puri. Savai Mana Krishna Padar Vindayor Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanavarane. Wherever they stopped, they stopped walking and stopped their kirtan, and then they started arranging for some sleeping arrangements and taking some prasad, washing some clothes, taking bath in Ganga, etc., some sacred river. And then there'll be more bhajans, Chaitanya Gaur bhajans, Radha Krishna bhajans, and reading from Bhagavatam, Nashta Priyeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. They would every day hear the Bhagavatam. So they all sat down together and Vaitacharya would give them Bhagavat class or maybe Gita class. Tonight's Gita class will be by Sri Vaitacharya. Acha. Tomorrow's Bhagavad Gita class will be Sri Nandanacharya. Acha. Very good. And on Wednesday, Bhagavad Gita class will be by Srivas Thakur. Well, then Saturday, there'll be bhajans by Nityananda. So you can only imagine the lineup of speakers and kirtan leaders, because they're all traveling together. Sachi, not Sachi, but who's the wife of Sita, Sitanath. She will be speaking on, the gopis' viraha, from the Viraha Gita. Like this. So that becomes Vaikuntha, because that's what people do in Vaikuntha. Every word in Vaikuntha is a song of praise. In Vaikuntha, every single word that the Vaikuntha Vasis utter or speak is a song of praise of Narayan. Narayana, 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 Radhe. So, every single word is a word of praise of Narayan. Narayan Kirti, Vishnu Yasho, the fame and glories of Vishnu Narayan. And there's dancing. And so now they turn that place into Vaikuntha because they did all the same things. They're glorifying the Lord, engaging in Nam Kirtan. So that's why Prabhupada said the temples. He said, what are these temples? There's a temple in New York City. There's a temple in Paris and Luxembourg and all over the place, in the most far away places from the land of Bharat Bhumi, Dharma Bhumi, Punya Bhumi, Bharat, Varsha. But Prabhupada said they're all Vaikuntha embassies. All the temples are actually Vaikuntha embassies, because the center of the temple life is Lakshmi Narayan in the form, not Lakshmi Narayan, but Radha Krishna, Sitaram. That's the center of the whole community. And everyone that lives there, the ladies and the gentlemen, married and single, they're all focused and centered on the happiness and pleasure of the Thakurji, Radha Krishna. So that's the spiritual world, the harmonious center, everyone working for the common center. Spiritual communism, Prabhupada called it. Spiritual communism. And in the Karl Marx concept of communism, everybody, the center is the state, the amorphous, impersonal state, the United Soviet States, whatever they call it, USSR, I don't know. But the idea was everyone works for the state. But then, and all the property is owned collectively and communally. But then they found out, and there's no caste. It's all one caste. It's all, this little bit I know about it, obviously very little, since you're a Russian person. But Prabhupada presented it something like this idea. But the center didn't work, because there was party interests. There was the haves and the have-nots, and the rulers and the ruled, the controlled and the controllers. So there wasn't a oneness, there wasn't a harmony, because there was duality. You can't have oneness in the presence of duality. And this is a dwanda. This is a world of duality. People have differences. It's a world of differences and duality. But in the spiritual world, it's a world of union, unity. Unity and diversity. This is the idea. Unity and diversity. The unity is that there is a common center, and everything is owned by the common center. Ishavasya medam sarvam yat kinshat jagatam jagatjam jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita madgasya madgridha kasya swiranam. The Krishna, the Isha, the supreme controller, is the center, Vishnu Narayana Krishna. And he's personal, not impersonal. The center is not impersonal. The state is impersonal. But the state of God, the confederate states of God or the spiritual world, is personal, because the center is personal. Personal consciousness. Personal consciousness that interacts with every particle of personal consciousness in a personal, intimate, sweet, and loving way. That's a very unique state, a very unique center. And that was impossible for the communists to imitate. So Prabhupada said, this is spiritual communism. Everyone, because the center is consciousness and the supreme consciousness of God. And we are orbiting around that supreme consciousness like electrons moving around the atom, or planets moving around the sun or whatever, or in our orbit. So therefore there can be unity there, and there's diversity because they're different jivas. The unity is that we're all connected, we're all consciousness, and we're all connected to Krishna, and he interacts with each of us in a personal way, we feel satisfaction, fulfillment, and happiness in that relationship, personal relationship. But at the same time, we're individual. So that's the diversity. God is one and different. Achintya bhed abheda tattva. So this is how the spiritual world works. The one common center. And therefore everybody feels comfortable. That's why it's called home, back to Godhead. Everyone feels appreciated. In the spiritual world, everyone is appreciated. Everyone feels grateful to each other. Everyone works cooperatively and submissively together for a common goal. That is the pleasure of God. Your pleasure is my pleasure, your happiness is my happiness. If I love you, my love is automatically taken care of. Because actually I'm part and parcel of you. So if I love you, I'm actually loving myself, because I am self, I'm Atma, and I'm part of you, the Supreme Self or Supreme Atma. Very simple formula, but difficult for people to understand. So now we will Shuna Shuna Arabhai Mangala Akyan Yahagaya Adideva Shesha Bhagavan. Listen, brothers, bhai, to these Mangala Akyan, auspicious topics which are glorified by the Supreme Lord Ananta Shesh, Adidev. And then tomorrow we'll find out about how they arrived from Jagannath Puri. This is the Puri, Jagannath Puri Gamana Leela of the Navadvip Vasis, their journey to Jagannath Puri and their yatra, spiritual journey. They'll be arriving tomorrow, the group will be arriving. Tonight we'll halt in Cuttack, and tomorrow we'll get up at 5 o'clock and walk, and we'll arrive. By midday, we'll arrive in Kamalapur. And so everyone should take rest early tonight so we can walk on to Puri tomorrow. Jai Jai Shri Ram.